Nathan Zagura, very happy to be joined by the former 22nd overall pick in the NFL draft, former Cleveland Brown,
yes,
Brady
sir.
Quinn. How
yes,
you doing,
sir.
Man?
Good, good. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. Let's just talk about the combine in general. Do you remember what it was like for you, and how has it changed?
One, it's become a little bit more of a spectacle. I don't think it was to this degree before. I mean, it was still a really big deal, and you kind of felt that. Like, it was almost overwhelming when you stepped on the stage. And I think the reason being is when you're in college – you kind of have a bubble around you, you know, because there's always someone there kind of by your side, whether it's a bowl game or different awards, things of that nature. There's always someone with you kind of helping you along, you know, knowing kind of the messaging, things you want to say and all that. Now you're on your own. And the questions you answer now are a lot tougher than the softballs you were probably thrown in college. You kind of get a little bit more of the benefit of the doubt. People are a little more positive, more optimistic. And once you transition to the NFL, you're getting paid. So people are going to be much more critical of weaknesses and things where you've maybe made mistakes in your past.
So when you came through it as a quarterback and a first-round quarterback, what were the interviews like, the 15-minute sessions you got to get with the team? What were they trying to get out of you?
I mean, speed dating. You know, like everyone's trying to kind of, you know, date a little bit, see what you're like. Some, I think, would more come at you from trying to understand who you are and your background as a person, you know, your family life, how you grew up. And just trying to get to know you. Some would really try to test you and put a lot of pressure on you, either through testing you with things on a dry erase board. I mean, I still remember sitting with Jason Garrett and him kind of teaching me their offense, teaching me their system, and going back and forth. He would draw it up, go through the reads and all that, erase it, teach me. And we go back and forth. That's all we did for the entire interview.
That's cool.
So, you know, everyone has their own way of going about doing it. I mean, my year, the most famous one was Eric Mangini, a former Browns coach, would play the name game. So he would have guys come in the room, and they'd shake, I don't know, 10 guys, 12 guys' hands, all different people throughout the scouting department, coaches, you know, front office. And then once he'd sit down, he'd go, "What's that guy's name?"
Oh, you know, I would be terrible.
He'd go, "You don't know that guy's name? That's our general manager. You might want to know his name. What's that guy's name?" Oh, that's your line coach. So, you know, you kind of test them that way to see how they'd handle things, you know, through some of those questions. And I'll still never forget. I remember seeing a player. I'm not going to say who, but he was a wide receiver. He walked out of the room. And he's like, "Man," he's like, "don't go in there." He's like, "That is not fun." So everyone's got their own way of kind of asking questions and getting out of the meeting what they want. But really, it's just the first step, because if they're truly interested, they're going to set up a meeting later on where they'll come to campus, so they'll invite you out.
Did they do anything in those 15 minutes? Because now you hear a lot now. They'll take maybe a reel of 10 of your plays and have you go through your plays. What were you thinking on this play?
Good,
why did you do this?
Sure, yeah. And they'll test you on that. I mean, you know, John Gruden, back when he was with the Tampa Bay Bucks, he did it more extensively with me, where he's famous for these cut-ups, things he does.
Yeah.
You see it all
he
the time.
He loves it, yeah. Quarterback
Monday Night Football. So he had this cut-up, and there was like a cheetah chasing a gazelle. Like, that's what he opened with. And the next thing I know, he's got the Tampa Bay Bucks cheerleaders on there. I'm like, where is this going? And then all of a sudden it gets right into film. And it was like film back when I was running a West Coast system my sophomore year. And he's like, "Yeah, you didn't know that. I was watching back then, man. Yeah, all right." And so then he gets into, like, later on, like, good plays, bad plays, you know, trying to kind of test you on all that stuff. So it was a very, very unique visit. But, that's kind of how they test you, because – they want to know how well you knew your system, the responsibilities of everyone else, how well you knew the defense, the people you're going up against. You know, sometimes you talk about, we're playing Georgia Tech, and, you know, John Tenuta is a defensive coordinator, so loves strong dogs, field zone blitzes, things like that. And those are the things they want to hear, because that's who, at the next level, as much as you're playing the players that are out there, you're also playing the defensive coordinator that you're going up against, how he likes to call the game. Because, you know, as a quarterback, you're ultimately responsible for the audibles, checks, things like that. It's not like in college where you look to the sideline. And
they hold up a sign or something. Yeah.
And they're trying to signal into you, so it's a little bit different.
Would you say that the quarterback position in the NFL today, that the guys coming out of college are more or less prepared than maybe they were when you came out, just because of the implementation of the spread offense that doesn't necessarily – sure, there are spread concepts in the NFL, but you can't come out of a straight air raid system and walk right into the NFL?
I'm going to say both, because nowadays kids coming up through, junior high and high school to college have, you know, quarterback training at a younger age.
Yep.
So actually, as passers, they're much more refined as far as their throwing mechanics. For the most part, you don't see a whole lot of guys with you know, Tim Tebow, for example, a big, long motion, having a real hard time with a much more compact release and spinning the football and all that. But because of the systems that you're talking about, which have become more prevalent at the high school level and college level, What it's done is it's forced them now to make this tremendous leap from a mental standpoint,
yeah.
from understanding just the basics of how do you communicate a play to your teammates. Because you go from, like you said, getting a signal where you might just be getting a signal and there's other coaches designated for other positions. So the O-line's getting a signal, the wide receivers are getting a signal, which you don't get that in the NFL. You know, only one guy has the coach, the quarterback. So, you know, that in itself is tough. Like being able to hear a play, a long play, mind you, regurgitate it to everyone else, and then answering their questions, because guys always walk up to the line, you know, your right guard's forgetting what the snap count is, you're telling him someone's lined up wrong, you got to get him over in the right position. So handling all of that before the play even starts. So that's the toughest part, is more is required of a quarterback. And then once that play begins, right, with the cadence and all that, you might have to make a check, you might have to make an audible and all that. You know, again, in college, they're getting up, fake snap, and then look. And then really the coach was telling them what's audible. Now you're out there. You know, after 15 seconds, it's off in your helmet. They can't communicate, so now you're responsible for figuring out what's the best possible play I can get us in based on the personnel, based on what the defense has given us.
So when you say that, so let's say that somebody's got the tape where you're intrigued about them as a prospect. The thing you need to find out is,
Deshaun
are they willing,
Kizer, by the way.
Yeah. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. But you need to find out if they're committed to having their life be about being a quarterback in the NFL for the time that they choose to play that position.
Without a doubt. And that's the hardest thing now for evaluators, whether it's a GM or coach, because you know this has become such a spectacle. I mean, these guys have training. Like, if you watch the course of the day, how it's set up, you know, they get in the morning and they'll go, you know, kind of warm up, they'll go run, figure out how to do the L drill or 40 vertical jump. They'll go, you know, work out, throw, then they go lift and all that. You know, they get nutrition in between, soft tissue work. But at some point in the week, they're being coached on how they want to conduct themselves in a meeting with coaches and all that, and then how they want to conduct themselves with front office people and how to answer certain questions. So it's so hard nowadays to kind of figure that out.
Know what's real.
Yeah, because that's why if you talk to some of the coaches, you know, they have set up meetings, the 15-minute meetings you're talking about and all that, but they'll tell them the best way is surprise them. You see them in the hallway, hey, how you doing? Just an impromptu kind of thing, and that's when you get
they're
into it.
They're not prepared. Yeah,
because
absolutely.
They're not prepared for it, or they're not thinking, and they're not in that mode of, okay, like, what am I supposed to remember to say? What's my company line, or what's my kind of out if I get into, like, a tough situation?
Well, we know the Browns have the first pick. We know they have the 12th pick. We know they have a need at the quarterback position. So let's get into this college class, then I'll ask you about Garoppolo later. But obviously, you said it earlier, and I've heard you say it earlier when we were talking over there. Deshaun Kizer is your favorite quarterback in this class. I know it's not just because he went to Notre Dame.
Yeah, it
what do you like?
To do with that.
What do you like about Deshaun Kizer?
Yeah, look, again, you go back through and watch his tape, and you have to look at his whole body of work. So, if you're only going to look in a vacuum and just look at 2016, you know, Mitch Trubisky would probably have impressed you a little bit more with the way he played this year. But that's all you have on him. He's only got one season. I mean, I'm not going to call it a red flag, but I would be very concerned about drafting a guy who I've only seen play at a Division I level for one season. You know, granted, he looked good and shows a lot of ability, but that just means it's a project to me. You know, if you can draft him high, but it's going to take some time before he can really get in there and run an NFL offense. With Deshaun, you go back and put on his 2015 tape.
Which I think is the best tape in the class, period.
Without a doubt. Yep. And when you watch it, you go, that's going to be the number one overall pick in 2017 draft. That's what you think. The problem is he didn't couple that up in 2016. He was inconsistent. You know, he missed throws or was inaccurate with throws that were kind of layups and easy and versus lesser talent, which one is frustrating to me just as a Notre Dame fan because I'm watching them lose
like,
the Navy.
On.
I'm watching them lose the Duke. You know, Stanford, teams they should have beat because he's talented enough. I truly believe he is, and we watched him have a great year the year before. And then there's kind of, you know, not to make excuses for him, but his O-line wasn't the same. The wide receivers weren't the same or pass catchers. So that's going to play a factor. But you're just evaluating him. He wasn't the same as what he was in 2015. If there's one thing about the NFL, every one of these teams wants is consistency.
Yep.
When you're a play caller, you want to be able to look down, call a play, and kind of you're obviously going to have on any pass play, you know, good, bad scenario. So either incomplete or they get a catch, right? So you want it to be as consistent as possible so you can anticipate, like, all right, this is what he's good at. This is probably what we're going to get out of this. We'll be in third and three, third and four, because we're certain, you know, currently sitting second and 13, whatever the situation is. That's what I think, you know, every coach looks for. And, you know, none of these guys has displayed truly, you know, consistent play. I mean, even Deshaun Watson, who was a tremendous player at the college level. I mean, really, one of the great college quarterbacks of all time. But that doesn't always mean it translates to the NFL.
Sure.
And that doesn't mean that, like, he can't translate, right? Like, Marcus Mariota had that same knock of the system they ran at Oregon, and would he be able to do it? He's proved he's able to do it. The problem with Deshaun is, in my mind, is the decision-making.
Yeah.
Marcus Mariota was an amazing decision-maker regardless of the offense. Watson's got a lot of interceptions, and when you go through and watch the tape, there's a number of them where you kind of come away saying, he forced it, it's a bad read, he's not moving through his progression the way he should. Like, he needs to get off that guy. And the system itself, you don't see as many throws of what you want to see in at the NFL level. And that's driving balls to the sidelines, to the outside, a lot of timing, rhythm throws, things of that nature. So he's going to have to prove that. And don't get me wrong, there's a lot of other quarterbacks in this class we talk about. Mahomes is very intriguing, too.
That's a wild card.
A little bit. But I think he had to play that way, too, because of how bad his defense was. So that's part of a team trying to figure out whether that's in him, right? And he's got maybe a little bit of that gunslinger.
Sure.
Or if that's more of a product of desperation, because he's got to put up. We did a game this year versus Oklahoma. He threw for like 730 yards.
Is it the one he threw 88 passes?
Yeah. I mean, it was ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, I'm watching both teams. They had both had over 800 yards. In that game, I think he had actually over 800 yards of total offense. It might have been less with sacks. But he was like the leading rusher and the pass for over 700 yards. It's ridiculous.
In
like,
a game.
To have to do that in one game, you're asking a lot.
Yeah.
So that could be a product of it. You know, Nate Peterman to me is like he's kind of like the best kept secret.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of people right now who, you know, aren't talking about him because they like him. And now he's not going to be a first-round pick, but he can maybe sneak and be a second-round, third-round, depending on how he throws, depending on how he does. But he's just really solid.
Like an Andy Dalton?
Yeah, I mean, that's not a bad comparison. Yeah, that's actually not a bad comparison. I didn't really have one, like, in the back of my mind of who I'd compare him to. I just feel like I don't know – like, his floor is high. I don't know how high his ceiling is, but I know there's not much of a difference between the two. And I think he's a guy who will impress people based on the meetings and all that. So,
do you think Kizer, if he can come in here, kind of explain what happened last year in terms of his relationship with Kelly, as an opportunity to leave this combine as the top guy? Because it seems from a physical gift standpoint and a trait standpoint and NFL throws, he checks those boxes as the big – prototypical pocket passer, and he's an underrated athlete with 18 touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, and he's got, I think, the longest rushing touchdown for a Notre Dame quarterback. I mean, it was like 80 yards or something ridiculous like that. So, I mean, he can tote the rock. He's a much better athlete than people realize. The relationship is the weird thing because, you know, what kind of went on with him and Malik Zaire this year, you can kind of make the case it was pretty unfair. And I don't think he's going to, you know, try to bring that up or want to talk about that. So he'll probably just try to avoid it. But the bigger question is their offensive system and kind of the changes with play calling. I think that changed, too, over the past of the couple seasons as far as what they were. So he'll probably have to explain that. The thing I hear from people, though, is they really question whether or not he loves the game of football. And that's something you talked about. It's hard to figure out.
Yeah.
And I think his demeanor is, like, kind of more calm and even-keeled and very poised. So that kind of comes off as almost like, well, how much does he really care?
Is he aloof, right? Does he care?
Which isn't the case. I think he does. I just think some people are more like that. They're not as emotional. They want to kind of stay in that median. So good or bad, they're still the same.
Interesting stuff, Brady. We certainly appreciate the time. The final one I'm going to ask you, you're the Browns. You've got pick one. You've got pick 12. How are you addressing this quarterback position? Is it somebody in the draft? And do if you like somebody, do you have to take them at one? Do you trade and try to move up with all your capital? Or do you call up the Patriots and say, I don't believe you. I want Jimmy Garoppolo. Here's pick 12.
Yeah, well, the first thing is you can't believe anything anyone says.
No.
So
it's Lions season.
Yeah, regardless of what the Patriots want to say with Garoppolo, he's talented. You know, the concerns are he couldn't even get through two games starting behind
sure.
a really good offensive line. And it's nothing against the Browns. The Patriots' offensive line is better right now for their quarterback than the Browns is. So if you're worried about protecting your quarterback, which I would think the Browns are concerned about that right now.
Are we at six of them? Yes.
So are you going to sit there and trade for a guy that you might be worried about? Can he keep himself healthy? Because that's – I mean, he might be really talented, but if he can't – you know, durability is more important than ability. So if he can't continue to keep himself on the field playing – I mean, how much does that help you? How much does that talent really weigh in? So that being said, look, I value seasoning and a guy who's been, you know, even Mike Glennon. Mike Glennon's a guy no one's talking about. He's going to be a free agent. Someone needs to take a shot at Mike Glennon. That kid can play. I'm telling you right now, if it's not Garoppolo, and even if the Browns did draft someone, let's say they get Kizer at 12 if he somehow dropped, or, you know, Mitch Trubisky, an Ohio kid, right? A lot of value. Mike Glennon could be a guy who you could get some good play out of for a year or two, and you don't have to trade anything for, right?
Yeah.
You could get both. So that's something to keep into consideration with the cap that they have got. And if I'm Glennon, look, I love Hugh. He was a great offensive mind. that could make some sense. But, you know, first overall pick, you got to take Myles Garrett. The guy's a freak. I mean, I don't know if you've seen him, but
he's a monster.
He reminds me of Julius Peppers. I trained with Peppers one off season, and the guy was, like, throwing down windmill dunks. And, like, you see him kind of move and run and the size, and that's what he looks like. So,
like a different species.
Like a difference maker. Yeah. And that's what you need on a team that I think needs talent, needs to fill a bunch of holes. So if you get him at one, you know, at 12 you can still get a lot of value, even if you want to go defense again, if you can address the quarterback situation via a trade. There's a lot of different ways you can go about doing it. But I'm telling you, man, Mike Glenn's a guy they should think about because you can still use that pick on a guy like a Trubisky if he's there, or any other guy like a Mahomes if you feel like he needs development, and you still got that guy to get him there, and a guy who might be able to win you some games.
So. Yeah, it'll be interesting. They've got the cap room. They've got the draft picks. Hopefully the Browns can get that quarterback position solved this offseason. Brady, thank you so much for the time.
Oh, thanks for having me.
All right, man, you got it. We'll be back with more on CBD.